We are meeting next week for Easter Sunday morning at 10:30, the usual time. So please make note of that. Make note of the fact the very next day, so 8 days from now, a week from tomorrow, our pastoral candidate is in town. You'll be getting a bio and other information about him. We truly would ask you to go to a community group where you can get to know him and ask questions and et cetera and et cetera. That will all lead that week up to that next Sunday, 2 weeks from right now. Yes, it is. 2 weeks. Steve's our chairman of our board, and he's right on the beam, baby. I just look at him, and I get my direction. 2 weeks from today, we'll be here for a normally scheduled gathering, in which case Gaetana will lead that gathering. At the end of that gathering time, we will have a vote of affirmation about him becoming our next pastor here at the church. So a lot of moving parts over the next few weeks. With that said, we've got a few things we need to be concerned about. I don't see my friend Tom, but I do see Kathleen. Many of you are in on the inside word of their great-grandchild Flynn, who's had in and out battles in the hospital, is once again back in the hospital with breathing issues. So I figured while we're in here real tight, what we would do is we would ask Glenn Francis to lead in prayer for Flynn. Would you do that, Glenn? And Jerry, who's the man who kick-started a lot of stuff, Jerry Peterson with Gaetano, and et cetera. It's a great story to hear how we got to him after looking at people who even told us that as soon as I get there, I'm going to build you guys a church building. And we're like, hold on, back up, okay? Great conversation for another time. Jerry, could you please stand? Thank you. Thank you. That's all I wanted you to do. Now, Jerry, could you lead us in prayer for the week from now when Gaetano comes in, for that week leading up to the gathering he's going to lead, and of course our affirmation vote, and for him as they prepare for this time just like we are. Would you do that, Jerry?
Father, thank you for your clear direction through all of this. It's been, I say it's amazing, but it shouldn't be amazing because you're so good and so powerful, and maybe we should expect these things, but we're still kind of staggered sometimes when we see how you orchestrate things. And to all the leadership here, this has been all of us kind of knocked down by just your goodness through all of this. And so, Father, we pray for Gaetano and Krista both as they're ready to travel down here and have a few days of vacation before they start meeting this crazy bunch of people. Lord, I pray that we would have as many as possible to each of the community groups, and it would be a good opportunity for each of those meetings for each of us to get to know them a little better and for them to get to know us a little bit better. And I pray for, especially too, for the time that he and Mike are going to be spending together as Mike kind of brings them up to speed on what it's like to be a pastor. A methodology like this is so different from what everybody's used to, and it seems to be just what Gaetano's been dreaming of himself. And so Lord, I pray for their lines of communication. Remember all the things that are important that Gaetano would know, the kinds of questions to ask, and then for that gathering that Gaetano facilitates. Father, we pray that your spirit will be there as he always is. We would be directing our thoughts, keeping us mindful of the future. And I can't come to you without paying for my computers and preparations. Father, obviously we're all going to miss them, but that's down the road a ways yet, so let's not start missing them now. Let's see if we can be helpful. Whatever there's anything we can do to make this transition easier, so that you make that apparent and make us one. We ask this all for the glory of Jesus. His kingdom, he's the one building this church. We give him all the credit and all the glory. In Jesus' name.
And thank you very much. So just a reminder, Jerry was chairman of the transition search team. And he did very well with that. Excellent work. Okay. Listen, here's what we're going to do this morning. I don't want you to sit, really, because we're going to leave. And here's where we're going to leave, too. Can everybody in their Bible now or device that has the Bible, could you open that up to Matthew chapter 27? Matthew chapter 27. You're obviously allowed to stay and sit in here if you want to or need to, but I fully expect that some people should be sitting out on a dock for this next exercise, all right? Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Matthew 27, 27. Matthew 27, 27:27. Okay? Everybody found it?
Yes.
Found it? Paper, electronics, everybody's got it? Okay, from verses 27 to 54 will be the account of the crucifixion. Listen carefully. This is what would be traditionally considered in a liturgical church Holy Week. But it doesn't mean that we don't still think about the events of the crucifixion leading up to Friday, and then the events leading into Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But today what we want to do is just take a break from our normal habit and have a personal retreat where we focus on that scripture. What I mean by personal retreat is we're taking 15 minutes. Look at your clock and your other devices right now. 15 minutes, and you are going to be dismissed to go anywhere you'd like to go. You can sit in your car, you can sit in a tree, you can sit in the outside kitchen, which, by the way, is a great place. There are chairs on the dock. You can go anywhere you want, but I'm trusting that you'll come back. And I'm trusting after a time you will come back. I'd make you coming back about 12, 14 minutes because, listen to me carefully, and look, watch my hands, okay? Up here are the communion elements. There's bread and there's a cup. We will then trust you to come in on your own and take a piece of bread and a cup and go sit down or go wherever you want and have a private time of communion and worship. I know for many of us, our schedule does not allow us to do this kind of stuff. There's a constant source of noise in our ears and in our face. We're turning that off right now. All we're going to do is going to read the scripture, meditate on the cost that Christ paid and what went on, and then what we're going to do is come in to commemorate that personally and privately by taking a piece of bread and a cup and having private communion. You'll know the 15 minutes is up when this music starts to play up here. Then you'll know it's time to start wrapping it and to find yourself in a seat that you'd like to sit for the morning. Does everybody understand that? It's really pretty good and pretty cool and something you haven't done in quite a while. You're dismissed for the next 13 and a half, 14 minutes. Watch your clocks.
We're going to start off with how deep the Father's love for us. I just want to read that first stanza. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. So let's sing that together.
Listen carefully. This just in. I really have been, as we were going through the time alone in the scripture, around the property here, and then having communion, and then looking at the song list and et cetera, I just refused to do something artificial and not genuine. And going through the scripture really struck me that I just need to camp here a little bit longer. There's so much in my life that I don't think about the crucifixion, the passion, and the suffering of Jesus. And it's real. And it's horrible. And it's good for me to get back in touch with it every so often, which I did this morning, just like you. So this morning, instead of doing the scripture passage in Acts, I'm looking at elders right now to look and confirm with me that I might be somewhere I should be. What we're going to do is we are going to go back to that scripture passage in Matthew 27. We are going to have you get in groups of two or three people and go through, since we've all read it, and to go over and highlight it with each other and take our study time this morning to make observations about the suffering of Jesus Christ, even going to the cross. And if that scripture didn't impact you this morning, you need to go back and look at it again and be impacted by it, that Jesus would endure that for you. Forget about everybody else. I'm very selfish at this point in time. He did it for you. He did it for me individually. That's the amazing part of this, that component. So I'm going to ask you to find yourself in groups of two, three, and or four. I'm fine with that. People you might want to be with or not be with, that would be good. Get the scripture out. It's Matthew chapter 27. Easy to remember, 27:27 to 54. So Matthew 27, start at 27. Get in your group, look over that scripture, make observations, and then we will challenge each other from that scripture as to what Christ endured for us. Even things like, I never saw this before, but did you see what the centurion said? Did you see this? Did you see that? Okay, go find your group, move your chairs. We will spend the next 15 to 18 minutes doing that. And then if your group wants to challenge the rest of the group, that's the great part about being here and teach us. We look forward to what you have to share. So go ahead, find your group, and it can be anywhere you'd like it to be. Thank you. Just another minute or two before we see if your group has anything you want to share with us. Okay, I'm going to call time. And I got to admit, there's so much material here for weeks and months and years. Oh, by the way, eternity. So if you can be wrapping it up. Okay, we'd like to hear from your group if you'd like to share something that maybe impacted you from this scripture. Remember, you don't have to, but if there's a spokesperson from your group who would like to share for a minute, challenge us with what you saw in here. That leads me to all kinds of things when you talk like that. So, really, we could pass the mic to everybody here today and get an impression, but if your group had one thing that stood out and you'd like to share with us, now's your time to share. I take volunteers. I don't point fingers. Who would like to go first? Art would like to go first. Okay, if everybody could listen, maybe you need to stand, Art, officer. Maybe you need to stand. I don't know. Maybe then they'll hear you better.
Yes, that's right.
Here we go.
We had several things that struck us.
Yes.
And one of the things that struck us, and me in particular, was you think about, here's God in human form, knowing what he was going to go through and went through it. For me? Why? It you can't fathom it. And as Glenn said, you know, it's not somebody, you know, you knew or anything, or, you know, if somebody, you know, you'd help out somebody or, you know, give your life for somebody, but, you know, somebody that is bad to you and stuff, are you going to suffer for them? No, because that's the sinful human part of us, right? But Christ suffered for us, and it's just unfathomable.
Okay, let's close in prayer and be dismissed, because that's it right there. Okay, Art, that's amazing. It really is. Good job. Yeah, Jennifer loves you, but why would Jesus love you? I get it. Okay, good. I thought you were going to say that. Okay, my friend?
Oh, we covered a lot of territory. We had all kinds of highlights that we discussed, so I'll just mention a couple of them. One was Jesus' restraint. I mean, they were teasing him, mocking him, saying, you know, come on down. You saved others. You can say, why not save yourself? What if he had? He could have, you know, there's the old hymn, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done a lot more than that. He could have just relaxed and stopped holding the universe together and said, that's it, you guys are done, I've had it. But he didn't. He went through it. He not only went through it, but he kept his mind clear. That gall contained an anesthetic. It would have numbed the pain, and he wanted his mind clear so that he could make sure he accomplished everything on that cross that he had set out to do. The result being, and there's another thing that we talked about, is how the veil then was torn in two. And we feel like we're unworthy to approach God, but that torn veil, that proves differently. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he counts us as worthy, and we no longer have to have a priest with a rope tied around his ankle to drag him out just in case he dies in there. We don't have to worry about that. We can go directly to him, person to person, face to face, and he will hear us and respond. That's just mind-boggling.
Very good. And Philip, you know the place you need to come to. This is the kitchen perch, okay?
Like a homing pigeon, right? One of the things we talked about was during the beginning of the process where Jesus was going through the mockery and they made a fake king out of him and then they stripped him. And what we thought about was through the whole process, through his crucifixion, through his death, no one stepped up to defend him. Not a single person. And so we thought, as a challenge to everybody, are you prepared to stand up and defend Jesus?
Dynamic point. Great point. Okay, anybody else want to share? I'm walking around here. Is it Kathleen? You got your hand up? Here you go.
We talked about a lot of things as well. But one thing that we hadn't really noticed is how many people were watching the mockery. A whole battalion? That they had gathered around, and we just never pictured how much they were making an entertainment out of it. You know, let's all come and watch. And to me, this is the ultimate adding insult to injury. I mean, this is actually, this is it. They added insult to the injury. And it was totally unnecessary, but this is like, this is that expression and the height of that expression of adding insult to injury. One other thing that was just, when it says, if he's the Son of God, you know, let him come down from the cross. And I thought at the time when I was by myself, if that it's because he's the Son of God that he's not coming down.
Hey, anybody else want to? Okay.
I know you don't want me to.
Well, no, that's not true, Ed. You are more than fun.
Well, it goes back, reiterating what Jerry said, is about the fact that they mocked him. But it wasn't just the fact that they mocked him, is the fact that they didn't realize that it was whole all of Jesus' plan that he was going to go through there. They're saying, well, if you were the king, the Messiah, you can get yourself out of it. That wasn't his plan. He was going to go through it. And the other thing is, back from the time of Adam and Eve, is that God gave us dominion over this world. And part of the thing is our sins is that we made such a mockery out of that gift. And Jesus was willing to forgive us for it.
Good, Ed. Good job. Anybody else who's got a hand over here? Dennis?
One of the things I saw, too, is we read this in 12 minutes. We see it in two-hour movies.
Really?
But the amount of time that Jesus went through this was heartbreaking. And no one came to his defense because Jesus knew that that was the plan. I mean, he stopped his own followers from raising the sword and fighting the soldiers. And then the last thing, as I brought it up, is the last line is the centurion says he truly was the Son of God. How important that line is. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gave it to John Wayne in the movie.
Thank you. Okay. If you could listen up here. I've always had one observation from this scripture. You can do with it what you want. I expect the Romans to do what they did with the mockery and et cetera, you know, kneeling before Jesus made up like a king. That's a horrible scene. But to watch when you get to verse 29 and you see that the priests and the scribes and the elders, the Jewish leaders of the faith who knew their scripture, to see the way they talked in verse 29 is almost unbelievable. That they would actually, who know the scripture, continue on with the rhetoric against Jesus. These were the religious followers. These were Jesus' people. And even they turned their back on him at this time. That's horrific. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you once again for the death of Jesus, for us. And Father, it's not that we thank you now, but Father, I pray that every day of our lives would be lived with an aspect of the fact that we are very keenly aware of what Jesus paid the price for, how he paid that price, what he went through and endured for many, many hours. But Father, we also realize that this is the main point, that we will worship and praise you for all eternity. The fact that this event paid for our sins, paid the penalty, and made things right with you. Father, right now we worship you together for what you accomplished through Jesus Christ. We acknowledge how hideous it is, but how we praise you and dedicate our lives to him because of it. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. It's great to listen to the guy up front, but it's also important that you pray. So would you do that right now? Would you pray? Would you thank Jesus personally? What Art said this morning was so on target. To think of your salvation, that he did this just for you, is an overwhelming thought that I do not understand. Would you take just a second or two or a minute right now and just worship him and praise him for doing that whole crucifixion, suffering, passion for you? Would you pray that way right now? Our Father, we as a group this morning are overwhelmed by the measures and the effort that you gave to bring us to yourself through Jesus. We don't get it now. We won't get it later. We won't get it for eternity, but we will surely praise you for it for all eternity. And Father, we as a church face a couple of dynamic weeks coming up, really weeks that determine our future, and we ask for clarity of mind. We ask for your wisdom. Father, might we sense the movement of your Holy Spirit through all of the activities that are going to take place in the next couple of weeks. For it's in the name of Jesus we commit ourselves to. Amen. We are dismissed. Oh, Laura's going to make an announcement. Hold on.
I just wanted to let everybody know on April 13th, when the Gitanos are in, when they're here, there's going to be a brunch at my house at 11. There'll be an email going out to everyone if you want to attend. And the Ladies Bible Study is not going to be going on these weeks. We're going to start back up after Easter and after all this is done. So all the ladies are invited. April 13th, that's Thursday at 11. Thank you.